Hello, Vice President Kennedy.
Good evening, President Forsman.
Can you all hear us in City Hall?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
Perfect. Well, good evening, counselors. I've got 5:15 on my watch, so we will go ahead and jump in and get started. We might have a couple of others joining us. The only person who reached out is Counselor Van Nett, is unlikely to join us tonight, so she is excused. You will normally see me in council chambers, but due to current personal circumstances, I am here tonight. So with that, I will kick it off with Vice President Kennedy and Finance.
Thank you, President Forsman, and thank you, counselors. This is our first sort of meeting where we're all getting into our places, so I'm looking forward to being in finance this year and looking forward to working with you all in your new assignments or the same assignments as last year. So I'm reading item number 5, resolution 7-5, resolution authorizing the issuance of sale of a 3,857,531 general obligation water utility revenue note series 2022A and providing for its payment. That's a large amount of money that I've never read in my life before. So I look forward to this work this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Kennedy. Seeing no counselors with their hand up with any questions, I will ask Councillor Mayo if you'd be willing to read in for Councillor Van Nett under personnel.
Sure. Resolution or item 6, resolution 96, resolution confirming the appointment of Mike Mayo to the Duluth Public Utilities Commission.
Very good. And thanks for stepping up there, Councillor Mayo. Seeing no questions, I'll read on the two items under my committee for Committee of the Whole. The first one, Resolution 60, authorizing a reinstatement, extension, and amendment to Agreement L30542 with Peterson Group LLC Canary Consulting for professional services related to the city's federal legislative program, an increase of $78,000 for a new total amount not to exceed $117,000. And then Resolution 103, establishing the City of Duluth 2022 legislative agenda. And counselors, this is a meeting we are going to be having on Monday for a committee of the whole. And I want to thank Councillor Anderson for helping me make sure to get this on there. So we will be starting Monday at 5:15, just so you're aware if you didn't see your email inbox, and that will be our opportunity to hear more about the proposed legislative agenda. Vice President Kennedy.
Thank you, President Forsman. I know that the committee, the whole, is open to having even more questions, and I'm hoping there's going to be some time for us to ask more questions, because many times when we get the committee of whole reports, it's full of good information, but it doesn't leave us a lot of time to ask questions. So my question is if we're seeing things that maybe are not going to be moving forward, or we have a lot of questions, and we were to table something like this, what would that look like? Would that hold us back in moving forward with our legislative priorities? Sort of what sort of things should we, I'll pause there. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Vice President Kennedy. Mr. Shechtman.
Thank you, President Forsman. Vice President Kennedy, the I don't have in front of me the exact date that the legislative session begins. And so that would be one of the calculations that we have. We certainly always respect the council's right to table items should they wish to do so. But the intent of having the committee of the whole is to have time for councilors to ask questions. And so that is certainly on our radar for Monday evening. It will not be a 45-minute presentation. And so certainly we have time for those. And should we have a need to table something, we can have that conversation. But our goal is to bring a legislative agenda forward that is consistent with the conversations that we have had on the administration side, and then that we've had with the council as well.
One follow-up question, if I may, President Forsman.
Please go ahead.
Mr. Shechtman, I see that it's establishing, the resolution is establishing the agenda. Does that mean there will be more time for input for us as councilors? I will yield.
President Forsman, Vice President Kennedy, again, you're welcome to amend the resolution. That has happened in the past. Should that be something that you choose to do? You know, the bulk of the resolution is made up of kind of the key priorities in the round bonding. And then there are a list of issues that we have worked through that councilors have added to in the past that are things that the city will publicly support as a means of trying to get them through a broader legislative package. But our lobbyist, Sam Ritchie from Freiburger, will be on the call on Monday and is much better equipped to speak to the specifics of the legislative process and the way that the city can influence that. And so you're welcome. Should you see something missing, I'm happy to have that conversation with you offline, certainly. And you're also welcome to make amendments, as is the council's prerogative.
All right. Thank you, Vice President Kennedy. And seeing no other questions, we will move on to Councilor Randorf's committee under Planning and Economic Development.
Thank you, President Forsman. Number nine.
I apologize, Councilor Randorf. President Forsman, I do see Councilor Anderson was waving his hand. I apologize.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah. Thank you for flagging that. And sorry, Councilor Randorf. Go ahead, Councilor Anderson.
Thank you, and sorry for getting in here late. I had a little computer issue. If I can just ask, maybe it was already asked, on Resolution 60, Item 7, is this to do, and I'm sorry again, I was late, but is this to do with federal lobbying expenditures?
President Forsman, Councilor Anderson, this is an extension of a contract that a professional services agreement that the city had in 2021 with a federal lobbyist. There is an enormous amount of federal money that is available right now. And so what we have been doing is working with folks with federal expertise to identify opportunities for the city to, in the mayor's words, vacuum up as much of that money as we can. And so that is what the work that was happening in 2021, and we're proposing, given the massive potential return on investment, to continue that in 2022. And so we'll be able to speak to that further as well on Monday. But our normal state, the Minnesota lobbyist that we have, Mr. Ritchie and Freiburger, he is our lobbyist for work at the state capitol. And he is an expert at that, but I don't want to speak for him on his federal level expertise, but we recognize the need to access some of that, the literal billions of dollars available in federal funds, that it is advantageous to us to have a federal lobbyist available.
Great. Thank you. I just hadn't seen, I don't have recollection of seeing an expenditure for federal lobbying prior to this. And of course, it is a unique time and there are funds. Absolutely agreed. We should be doing everything that we can to access money from the federal government. So, all right. Thank you, Mr. Shuckman.
Point of information, if I may, President Forsman, Councilor Anderson, the initial contract with this consultant did not come through the council last year because it was a limited time, 6 months, and the cost did not go to the level that required council approval. So that is why you did not see it and are not familiar with it.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you, Councilor Anderson. Moving on to Councilor Randorf's committee.
Thank you, President Forsman. Item 9, Resolution 61, is a resolution authorizing an amendment to Agreement L30334 with Barr Engineering for an additional professional consulting services for an increase of $50,000 and a new total amount not to exceed $150,000. Item 10, Resolution 77, authorizing a First Amendment to the Community Development Block Grant, CDBG-CV1, authorized by the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, CARES Act, agreement with Zeitgeist Center for the Arts and Community. Item 11, Resolution 81, is a resolution authorizing a First Amendment to the 2020 Community Development Block Grant Program Affordable Housing Redevelopment Grant Agreement with the Housing and Redevelopment Authority of Duluth, Minnesota. Item 12, Resolution 87, is the intent to support an agreement between Gardner Builders and St. Germain Glass, Inc. for historic window replacement on behalf of the Burham Apartment Project in the amount not to exceed $303,709. Item 13, Resolution 89, is a resolution accepting a permanent easement for pedestrian purposes from Unique Opportunities Duluth LLC and Unique Opportunities Land Holdings LLC over and across real property located in the Duluth Heights neighborhood at no cost to the city.
Thank you, Councilor Randorf. Any councilor questions? Seeing none. Oh, Councilor Mayo.
I'm having a problem with my hand raising again. Thank you, Councilor President Forsman. I had a question for CAO Shuckman about resolution, 87, item 12. So with the window replacement, I wasn't on council when this was moving forward last year, but just do you have any more background? It looks like the window replacement is coming to us simply because it's not using the lowest cost bid, but rather something that's going to serve the purposes of this conversion to make the jail more a feasible project for years to come, I guess.
President Forsman, Councilor Mayo, I'm not clear on what your question is. I apologize. Can you restate?
Yeah, sorry. I can rephrase it. So it's coming to us as council because it looks like this agreement is, it's using the best value procurement versus the lowest responsive bid. So is that just basically saying that these windows, this agreement is going to produce windows that are going to last longer and better serve the jail versus having the lowest bid that came in for this project?
President Forsman, Councilor Mayo, as I understand it, there's grant award involved in this, and the city is a part of that grant award. I'm going to ask Director Fleege if he has additional information to chime in, and if not, we certainly can circle back with you before Monday night.
President Forsman, Councilor Mayo, yes, COA Shuckman is correct that this was predicated on a Historic Society grant that the city applied for and received, and they have certain bidding requirements because of the complexity of meeting the requirements for the State Historical Society. So our city bidding department worked on the procurement on behalf of the developer. And again, because the bidding rules are very specific, and it is a complex set of requirements that need to be met to qualify as historic, window treatment. So I can get you additional information, but that is the gist of why we did it. We were the grant recipient on behalf of the developer, and that's the role that the city staff play.
Thank you for the clarification.
Very good. Thank you, Councillor Mayo. Seeing no other councillors with their hand up for questions, we'll move on to Councillor Medved's Committee under Public Works and Utilities.
Thank you, President Forsman. Item number 14, Resolution 56, is a resolution approving a county project with municipal corporate limits for improvements to County State Aid Highway 37, Jean Bluth Road. Item number 15, Resolution 71, is a resolution authorizing a reinstatement, extension, and an amendment to agreement L30198 with Short Elliott Hendrickson, Inc. for professional services related to Phase 2 of the Cross City Trail for an increase of $11,800 for a new total amount not to exceed $155,900. Item number 16, Resolution 74, is a resolution authorizing an increase to agreement L30144 with Frontier Energy, Inc. for professional services relating to public works and utilities, commercial and industrial conservation improvement program in the amount of $4,969,000 for a new total not to exceed $88,969,000. Item number 17, Resolution 76, is a resolution awarding a contract to Dakota Supply Group for water valves and hydrants for various 2022 city projects in the amount of $230,916.14. Item number 18, Resolution 80, is a resolution authorizing the purchase of delivered Class 5 gravel, 3/4-inch crushed washed rock and washed sand from Duluth Ready Mix, Inc. for an amount not to exceed $314,370. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Medved. Seeing no councillors with questions, we will move on to Councillor Anderson in Public Safety.
Thank you, President Forsman. Resolution 52, authorizing proper city officials to accept a grant from the State of Minnesota Commissioner of Public Safety Office of Justice Programs in the amount of $810,000 for the purpose of supporting the operations of the Lake Superior Drug and Violent Crime Task Force through December 31st, 2023. Resolution 66, authorizing proper city officials to accept a grant from the Department of Justice Bureau of Justice Assistance in an amount totaling $899,982 and further authorizing an agreement with Dr. Jeffrey R. Maas, PhD, to perform independent researcher services and Center for Alcohol and Drug Treatment, CADT, to provide licensed alcohol and drug counselor services for the project entitled 2021 Comprehensive Opioid Stimulant and Substance Abuse Site-Based Program. Resolution 79, authorizing the execution of a First Amendment to the agreement between the City of Duluth, Center for Alcohol and Drug Treatment, and Jeffrey R. Maas, PhD, for the fiscal year 2020 Comprehensive Opioid Stimulant and Substance Abuse Program Award, providing for the reimbursement of certain costs of CADT subject to the total annual cap on fees and costs. Resolution 104, authorizing agreement for professional services with the Human Development Center for Investment in the Duluth Community Crisis Response Program for 2022 to 2024. And if I may, President Forsman, on resolutions 66 and 79, these agreements with the Center for Alcohol and Drug Treatment, I just want to make sure that we're that this kind of money is actually, is it going for actual treatment, or is it a research program? I'm not really clear what this is for.
President Forsman, Councillor Anderson, Deputy Chief Laura Marquardt is on the call and will, I believe, be able to speak more specifically to both of these items.
Thank you.
President Forsman and Councillor Anderson. So the monies that go to the CEADC is specifically for treatment. And available beds for individuals who need and are seeking treatment. The research component is in regards to Dr. Maas, and that is specifically to do research in the sense of the effectiveness of the program. Does that help clarify?
It does. All right, so I guess we have to trust that that this is a grant that is will be put to good use if the Department of Justice Bureau of Justice Assistance has approved this grant, then there must be something behind it. So I'm certainly not the expert. Thank you, Deputy Chief Marquardt. And further, President Forsman, on Resolution 104, councilors, there's a 9-page attachment, Exhibit A, about the a narrative about the agreement between the City of Duluth and the Human Development Center. I have a couple of questions that I will be reaching out to HDC offline to for some clarification before our meeting on Monday, and I will pass on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Anderson. Appreciate the background. Vice President Kennedy.
Thank you, President Forsman. On item 21, Resolution 79, there's language that says a First Amendment. We also read that language in a couple other of our resolutions. Could you just let me know what that is meaning? It's sort of new. I don't remember hearing that in the past. Am I to assume there's going to be other amendments coming?
President Forsman, Vice President Kennedy, that is language, and I would certainly ask Attorney St. George to chime in here. But as I understand it, that is language that is used in a resolution when we have an existing or previous contract that is just being amended, and that we use that to signify that. And certainly, if Attorney St. George has additional clarifying information, I would defer to her.
Thank you. I don't have anything further. That's accurate.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Vice President Kennedy. Councillor Mayo.
Thank you, President Forsman. I had a question about item 4 or resolution 104, item 22, with the HTC resolution. I was just curious. Is that just one position then, the community coordinator that will be new? It sounds like HDC has already hired that person. So it's just one position total, just to clarify.
President Forsman, Councillor Mayo, no, it is not just one position. That position has been hired, but it is a $600,000 annual allocation over for each of 3 years of the contract. There is staff, Katie Onofrichuk from HDC is on the call this evening and can be more specific, but it is not just a one position hire. It is part of that position has been hired, but it is part of the larger expansion of that existing program.
Thank you, CEO Shuckman. I don't know if Katie wanted to weigh in at all, but we'll certainly give her that opportunity if she wants to.
Excuse me. Yes, certainly. We have several positions actually budgeted under this project, which would equal up to be about 5.5 FTEs or full-time equivalent positions. That would include a community care coordinator, is the position you were speaking of that's already been hired, but then several outreach staff along with clinical supervisors, on-call psychiatry, and other mental health professionals. So it'll be a very diverse team of individuals that are going to be funded under these dollars.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Yeah, thank you for being here. Councillor Anderson.
Thank you, President Forsman. And since Katie from HDC is here, I'll go ahead and ask these questions. I'm curious, in reading the narrative, it refers to peer support. Let me just make sure I have the right term here. Peer supports, and I'm are the peer supports already on staff at HDC, or will they be positions that will be added?
Yes, we already have peer supports that are on staff with our crisis service team with the funding that came from the Arrowhead Behavioral Health Region. So they wouldn't necessarily be FTEs employed under the city dollars, but they are already on our team.
Okay. And then secondly, the one FTE full-time embedded RN, there's a name attached to that, Marissa. Has Marissa already been on staff for HDC and working with a core team?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Where has the funding for Marissa's position come from previously?
I believe this past year it was from a Victory grant. Not fully certain on that, but that grant expires at the end of February, and so her position was up in question for this coming year.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm really, really, of course, I'm very, very excited about this whole program, and I'm looking forward to its success in this coming year and for years ahead. And I'll follow up offline with further questions. Thank you.
Certainly.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Anderson. Vice President Kennedy.
Thank you, President Forsman. My question is also for Resolution 104. I have two questions. Is HDC a nonprofit? And then my other question would be is when we voted on this funding for this crisis response, which is so needed across our city, we really wanted to make sure that this is going to be enacted across the city. What are the strategies for that to happen? And I'm going to ask specifically for Western Duluth, but across our city was the caveat to have this money move in the way it is. So I'll yield.
Yes, our crisis response team covers Duluth and the surrounding 30-mile radius. And so we currently are responding to crisis needs in that area. But we have even, we just took over crisis services in December. But with these city funds, we're looking at employing additional outreach practitioners who can address crisis needs preventatively. And so, for example, working with the warming shelter in having appearances at the community intervention group and other collaboratives across the city to learn of individuals who are presenting at risk or in risk of a crisis, and so they can intervene before it hits that crisis. So we're utilizing our outreach coordinator or community coordinator to develop some of those relationships with agencies and entities across the city so that we have that foundation and can do more preventative and early intervention work.
If I may follow up, President Forsman, I'm gonna ask you to be a little more specific. So in District 5, what is the strategy to help folks who are needing these type of services?
Yeah, it's a difficult question to answer, I guess, at this point, in that we haven't parceled out the community to develop those relationships. But when we look at the community centers at like Gary Morgan Park and in the Heights, and you know, where you know the people come together and convene, we hope to have a presence there with our staff. But I would certainly invite any suggestions and ideas to help us get started in that area. Our community coordinator is the one who we have put in that position to help identify and create those relationships. So unfortunately, at this time, I don't have a clear strategy for those specific engagements.
Fair enough, if I may, Councilor President Forsman. Can I have this one pulled? And then I would love to have more discussions offline as well. Thank you. I'll yield.
Thank you, Vice President Kennedy. Certainly, we can, for our new councillors, any councillor can ask to pull anything off of the consent agenda. So we will do that for, you're talking about Resolution 104 specifically. Yeah, thank you, Vice President Kennedy. Councillor Timonic, welcome.
Thank you, President Forsman. I have a follow-up question to Councillor Kennedy. Will the staff be proactively in the community working at various centers? And will they also be responding to calls? Is that another way that staff will be engaging with the community?
Yes, correct. They will be on call 24/7, but we will have plans in place during business hours for them to be out and about in the community and visible to community members. We were in a meeting actually earlier today talking with dispatch and how we can do some of those direct linkages between 911 dispatch and our crisis response team so that they know where we are and they can easily access us and vice versa.
Great. Thank you.
Very good. And Katie, I won't pretend to butcher your last name, so I'll just keep it there. But thank you for joining us tonight and helping answer some of the questions on this. And I don't see any more on this topic, so we will move on at this point to Councillor Timonic and Recreation Libraries and Authorities.
Thank you, President Forsman. Resolution 82, a resolution authorizing a contract with Lakehead Constructors for USCBP cruise facility construction for an amount not to exceed $444,740. Resolution 84, a resolution authorizing application to the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources Protect Community Forests EAB grant program to provide funds to remove and replace diseased boulevard ash trees, not to exceed $150,000. Resolution 86, a resolution authorizing acceptance of a Minnesota Historical and Cultural Heritage grant from the Minnesota Historical Society in an amount not to exceed $130,100 for implementation of the Wabasha Shekinah, the Martin Trail, interpretive plan. Resolution 88, a resolution authorizing a temporary license agreement with Spirit Cove Homeowners Association for stabilization of certain property along the St. Louis River shoreline at no cost to the city. Resolution 90, a resolution authorizing an amendment to agreement L30107 with LHB Engineers and Architects for additional engineering design services and construction administration for Lincoln Park restoration for an increase of $93,259 and a new total amount not to exceed $224,650. Resolution 91. A resolution authorizing an amendment to agreement L30511 with AMI Consulting Engineers for deck seawall and adjoining waterfront plaza for an increase of $277,075 and a new total amount not to exceed $331,740.25. Resolution 92, a resolution authorizing an amendment to agreement L30505 with Confluence, Inc. for deck waterfront landscape architectural design services for an increase of $319,120 and a new total amount not to exceed $401,110. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Timonic. And seeing no questions on Parks, Recreation, and Authorities, we will, oh, there he is, Councillor Mayo.
Thank you, President Forsman. I had a question about the Resolution 84 as well. I had another one about 88 as well, but I'll start with 84, item 24. With those Emerald Ash for the grant application, do we know what areas of the city in general those are in? I think it was 500 trees. It said they were the larger trees is what's going to be targeted with this grant, I believe. Do we have any context on where those are located in general?
President Forsman, Councilor Mayo, Director Philby Williams is on the call and will be best equipped to speak to your questions on item 24 and 26.
President Forsman, Councilor Mayo, thank you for the question. The large trees are scattered throughout the city, and we are triaging them based on how hazardous they are to people and property at present. However, there will be a concentration of this work in the Central and East Hillside areas.
Thank you. Yeah, I was just curious because I know there are certain areas with lots of those markings on those trees on the boulevard right now, for sure. For resolution or item 26, we had a question. I had a question from a constituent of mine. Just curious about if the access for the stabilization of the shoreline, if the access that is existing in this location will be returned once this project is complete. I don't know if it's public access at this point along the St. Louis River or what it exactly looks like, but if that'll return once that project is done.
President Forsman, Councillor Mayo, thank you for the question. Excuse me. The primary purpose of the project is actually to restore and reconstruct a storm-damaged portion of Wabashashi-Kanaw, the Martin Trail. And it will have the happy byproduct of protecting the outlots of this homeowners association. But our primary interest is to restore public access to the waterfront there.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mayo. Councillor Timonic.
I wonder if I can ask Director Philby Williams where along the Wabashashi-Kanaw that is. Is it, can you just tell us what part of the trail that is?
As enforcement, Councillor Timonic, it is between the Indian Point Campground and the Riverside neighborhood.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Timonic. And thank you, Mr. Director Philby Williams, I should say. Seeing no other questions on this section, we will move on to ordinances to be read for the first time. Councillor Owl, would you be willing to read in for Councillor Vanette on items 30 and 31?
Yes, President Forsman. Item 30, resolution or ordinance 8, ordinance amending section 2-2.3 of the City Duluth Code, Duluth City Code 1959, as amended regarding minimum job qualifications for deputy fire chiefs. Item 31, ordinance 2, ordinance amending Chapter 5, Section 36 of Duluth of the Duluth Home Rule Charter 1912, as amended, changing the maximum number of appointed deputy fire chiefs from 2 to 3.
Very good. Thank you, Councillor Owl. Councillor Anderson.
Thank you, President Forsman. I know that Chief Crozet is here on the attendees. As I understand it, Well, I guess I'll go ask for correction here if I'm wrong, but that in order to do this change in the charter, do we have to have a unanimous vote on Ordinance 2?
President Forsman, Councillor Anderson, it may make sense to have Attorney St. George weigh in on the specifics of that. I believe it is, you are correct, but I would like to make sure we defer to the city attorney on that.
Thank you, President Forsman. The answer is yes, it has to be unanimous and of all councillors, I believe. So if anyone's absent, we need to get that vote as well.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. And then since this is clearly is a there's a high bar here for changing the charter, I would ask Chief Crozet to explain the justification for this change and how it would benefit the fire department and benefit those of us in the city.
Yes, Councillor Anderson, President Forsman. One of the things that in the previous year the council did was add a $100,000, approximately $100,000 totaling $100,000 training budget to the fire department and also the police department. One of the things that we would do would be to add a deputy chief of training, would be a specific title. I've got a list of job duties that we would break out amongst the three deputy chiefs, but one of the things that I would really want to concentrate on is managing that budget at a supervisory level. So I believe that's a chief level, in my opinion, that's a chief level responsibility. There's, of course, some other grant monies and MBFTE reimbursement monies that also goes into that training budget. So that would be one of the main duties is to oversee that new budget and make sure that we're spending it appropriately at, like I said, a supervisory level. There's also some other things that would help us internally as far as our span of control. We're not overly taxed with personnel as far as supervising personnel with two deputy chiefs, but we are taxed with job responsibilities. So there's a lot of things that would fall under that, under a new org chart, which we would propose a new org chart, which would then fall, the training officer, the current training officer position would fall under that. Our technical services coordinator, who oversees our state hazmat team, and urban search and rescue, our USAR. We don't have an official team yet, but we're working on developing an Arrowhead team with Virginia Fire, Air Guard Fire, and the state of Minnesota. So those responsibilities fall under training. A lot of those responsibilities fall under training. One of the things that we've also looked at expanding some of our training with volunteer departments around the area. Typically, of course, a volunteer fire department, they have a regular job, a full-time job, other than firefighting. So a lot of their training is done on Thursday nights or Saturdays, which is off-duty time. This would be a salary position, so we wouldn't incur overtime costs if they flex their schedule to work on a Saturday or an evening, a Thursday evening, to coordinate with some of our surrounding mutual aid departments. For example, the city of Rice Lake, Lakewood Township, and Proctor are some of those first-ring mutual aid cities that we would use. So there's a lot of things that we'd like to manage. We'd like to take some of the administrative responsibilities off the current training officer and put those onto an administrative position. So managing our license, our state firefighting license is every 3 years. Managing our EMT certification is every other year. Take some of those responsibilities off the training officer, put them in an administrative position, and then let the training officer focus on the actual hands-on training, the onboarding of new employees, and then developing hopefully a training academy in the future. So those are some highlights. I'd be more than happy to email the breakdown list to all the counselors if you'd like to see that or have some more one-on-one discussion with regards to how this will break down and how this, I guess, that's the big thing I think you're questioning is how we're going to staff this position or what the position is going to oversee.
If I may, apologies.
I was going to just say thank you, Chief Crozet, and I see my colleagues also have other questions, so I will yield. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Anderson. Mr. Schuckman, go ahead.
Thank you, President Forsman. I just wanted to add one note to Chief Prejean's thorough breakdown of the position, which is that about a year ago, the council approved a charter change to the police department to add a third deputy chief. And so this would mirror that structure. And from an organizational development standpoint, one of the things that is clear to me is that there is this need in the fire department, just as there was in the police department, to make sure that we are appropriately distributing work and allowing for the chief to do the chief's job and the deputy chiefs to have an appropriate spread of work that really recognizes the real breadth of work that the fire department does, just as we did with the police department a year ago. I'll also just note that this is a first read on Monday. And so there is the chief, as he mentioned, is available. I'm happy to be of assistance as well wherever possible, although I certainly defer to Chief Grigier's expertise, but also that we will happily take all the time we need over the next couple of weeks to answer any questions that councillors may have. Thank you for letting me chime in.
Thank you, Mr. Schuckman. Councillor Randorf.
Thank you, President Forsman. Quick question for Chief Grigier or for CAO Schuckman. You mentioned using the training dollars that that we're funding. That's not paying for this position, is it? That's my first question of two.
Councilor Randolph, President Forsman, that is absolutely correct. None of the we currently had two training officers. They both retired in December. So this would be elevating one of the training officer positions to a training deputy chief. None of that $100,000 of training money or other grant money and some of the other parts that go into that training budget that will not be used to cover any salary pay or any of those, that part of the job.
Thank you. So this is part of a total department reorg. It is not increasing the budgets of the department. It is merely making strategic movements so that administrative deputies can do different work. Is that a fair statement?
Councilor Randolph, President Forsman, that is correct. That is a fair statement. This was a good time to make the change, as we had our deputy chief of operations retire and both training officers retire. It felt like the appropriate time to try to make this change to the charter and then reorganize our department. But it will not add any FTEs to the fire department. We will not have more employees. It's just elevating one position.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Councillor Randorf. Councillor Mayle.
Thank you, President Forsman. And just a clarifying question to make it clear, in my conversation with CAO Schuckman earlier today, we were just talking about, sounds like it's an appointed position, I think at the discretion of Chief Grigier. Correct me if I'm wrong. And then secondly, this sounds like you're going to be elevating someone, so this will be more of an internal search for this person rather than an external search.
Councilor Mayor, President Forsman, that is correct. It is appointed by the chief. All of our deputy chief positions are appointed by the chief. The current language that's not being changed, there's already current language in the code that requires the deputy chief to come from the ranks of the fire department. So there's one word change. We struck the word classified and changed that to uniformed position in this code. And that's because our current training officer position is an unclassified position. That's technically an appointed position. It's not a civil service tested position. So that's the purpose for that change, is to not unintentionally exclude the training officer position from applying for the deputy chief position in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Mayo. Quick question for me, and thank you, Chief Grigier, for being here. This question's for Mr. Schuckman. Good opportunity, since this is the first charter change of the year, to refresh us on what the process is for a charter change to come before the council, if you would.
Thank you, President Forsman. Director Helmer is, I believe, with us this evening, and I will ultimately ask her to correct me, but as I understand it, the charter change is added to the Charter Commission agenda, which is published 30 days in advance. The Charter Commission reviews it, makes a recommendation, and then it either goes to the council, or if the council does not approve it, it could be placed on the ballot for vote. And I'll ask Director Helmer, and in retrospect, probably should have just deferred to Director Helmer to clarify that. I want to just note one other piece before we do that, which is just to save me from raising my hand here after this, which is that it's important to note from my perspective, when I look at the organization and I think about the work that a year ago when this was approved for the police department, and now when we look at the work that the fire department does, those are 24-hour operations. They work every day. They do not work business hours. They have unpredictable work that really literally impacts public safety and people's lives. And I feel uncomfortable with the amount of work and expectation that we place on three senior positions in the department right now. We have two deputy chiefs and the chief. And so for me, from an organizational standpoint, looking at this position, I feel like it's important to have that fourth senior leader in the organization able to make command decisions for the fire department. If Chief Crochet was out of town, it provides us with additional expertise and leadership should that be needed. And so I just want to make sure that that point is made as well. And then I will belatedly kick it over to Director Helmer to make sure that I have accurately represented the charter change process.
President Forsman, CEO Schuckman is correct regarding the charter process. It does go to the Charter Commission for recommendation to the City Council. There is a two-week published public hearing notice requirement, so that published notice has been submitted for publication to the Duluth News Tribune, in addition to it being added to your council schedule for the first council meeting in February. So there will be a public hearing on the charter proposed change at that February meeting, and then the council must act on the proposed charter change within 1 month of that public hearing.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Director Helmer. It's not very typical that we have unanimous votes coming forward, but we'll have two here within the first three meetings, it sounds like. Seeing no other questions on that topic, and thank you for everybody who weighed in, we will move on to Councillor Randorf with her ordinances.
Thank you, President Forsman. Item 32, Ordinance 6, is an ordinance amending the RP Zone Regulating Plan for Ramsey Village affecting five lots on the west side of North 53rd Avenue, west north of Ramsey Street, and five lots on the east side of 54th Avenue, west north of Ramsey Street, to replace the currently allowed building types with building type 1, 6, and 7 that allow one-family detached residential structures, four-unit multifamily residential structures, and eight-unit multifamily residential structures. Item 33, Ordinance 7, is an ordinance granting WB Ibiza LLC a concurrent use permit for an existing stairwell within the platted right-of-way of North 28th Avenue West, adjacent to 2801 West Superior Street.
Thank you, Councillor Randorf. Not seeing any councillors with questions, we'll move on to councillor questions and comments. Anything tonight? Seeing nothing, I will just add two things here quickly. So just a reminder for folks, if you didn't catch it at the beginning, we do start our meeting at 5:15 on Monday with the Committee of the Whole for the legislative agenda for this year. And that will be followed up with a 6 p.m. Committee of the Whole for the half and half tax that Director Philby Williams will be presenting on. So we've got that coming up for your agenda. And then I also wanted to share with all of you that Director Helmer shared a letter with me from the Metropolitan Interstate Council. We have Vice President Kennedy, who serves as one of our two representatives on that board. And there is an opening because of former Councillor Filipovich's vacancy. So if you have an interest in that, it is the designated Metropolitan Planning Organization for the Duluth Superior area, responsible for planning and determining federal dollar transportation projects. So reach out to me if you have an interest. I would like to get somebody appointed to that, hopefully by the end of the month. And then moving on to council preview of upcoming business. If anybody has anything else, this would be the time. Otherwise, going once, going twice. See you Monday night. Thank you very much, counselors.
Great meeting. Thank you.
Have a good night.